A few years ago, one of my favorite restaurants began a advertisement campaign with this slogan, "More life happens here." And the idea behind their campaign was to appeal to the values of American people. So they highlighted on how they gave food away, how they helped during disaster relief, how they gave a lot of money to St. Jude Children's Hospital. And the idea was that as they appeal to our values, something in us will resonate and we'll say, yeah, I agree with that. And we'll be more inclined to want to eat at their restaurant. And so I'm going to give a little test today and see if it works. I told you what they're trying to do, their gimmick. And now what we're going to watch the advertisement and see if you're more compelled or not to eat. Turn your eyes to the screen.
Kids, this is why you go to school. I know you don't feel it now.
I know you sit in classes and you're like, I'm never going to use this. And you'll get on this side and look back and say, I never used that. But why you go is a fundamental value that you believe. And the more that you embrace it, the better you'll want to do in school, because you want a better tomorrow than it is today. Now, there's nothing wrong with this desire. In fact, there's an advertisement on the radio this week, perhaps you heard it, that a study was done on what Americans worry about the most. Now, this promoted their campaign, their project, so, you know, the research, you can find what you take it or leave it. You can manipulate that. But they said what Americans lose the most sleep about has to do with their future. Healthcare costs and saving enough for retirement. And so, that may say you, that may not, I'm not telling you it's true, but a lot of things that we worry about, in fact, I would say just about every worry that we have is about the future. I think that's why Jesus says, don't worry about today, about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. We very rarely worry about just today, we worry about what's coming tomorrow. So all of us want it. And it's a good desire to have. In fact, I think it's a desire God has given His people because of the gift of eternal life, that there's something better in front of us, more to be had, it goes on and on. But I want you to know something. There will always be a competitor to a better tomorrow. And that competitor is always today. Today will always get in the way of a better tomorrow. Now, the way I want to frame this, the way I want to say it today, is this way. The urgent always takes the place of the important. So what becomes the most urgent in our lives is what we tend to go after instead of always remembering what is most important in life. And I think every one of us struggles. So this sermon isn't here to beat you up. It isn't here to try and point things out. It's just to say we're all in this together. Is that the urgent so often gets replaced with what is most important in life. I think we see this in the life of the rich young ruler. Now there's a lot we don't know about him. Man, we don't know for sure if he's married. We don't know exactly what he's a ruler of. More than likely, he was the ruler of the synagogue, because in Jewish tradition, that would have been about the only ruler that he could have been. We don't know if he had kids. We don't even know how wealthy he was. Now, when you hear the story of the rich young ruler, how many of you will think of money? Is that what you think of? That's the first thing I think of. You know that nowhere in the text does it say anything about his money? I just want to clarify this before we go any further. It talks about his wealth. You translate wealth, you know what that means? Possession. So his bank account probably wasn't all that large. He just had a lot of assets. A lot of things that he possessed. And so often we come to this and we think, you know what, I'm not that much like the rich young guy because I'm not rich. I'm good on this earth. But this was the rich young ruler's problem. Is that what was most important got replaced with what was most urgent. And I can do this too. At the beginning of the story, Matthew just records that a rich man, a young man, came to Jesus. It just says came. It didn't say any other details. This is why in the Gospel, through the Bible study tip, most Bibles at the top will show you in the Gospel where the same story was repeated. And by the way, this was a real encounter, not a parable. Jesus didn't make this up. This happened. And in the other parables, you compare it, and they will give you details that the other writers left out. So Mark, what he tells us is that the young man came running to Jesus and fell at his knees. Now, that's an important detail. Because running in Jewish culture was a big no-no. You would get a spanking if you ran. Because it was considered in their culture vulgar. It was rude. It was crude. It was just not appropriate. And so this young man runs up to Jesus and he falls on his knees, a sign of humility. Now understand where in the gospel this is placed. It's placed towards the end of Jesus' ministry. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. So this means that he's already been rejected by the religious leaders. So watch, the rich young man is running to Jesus, to someone that the leaders had already rejected and say, don't run to him. Run to us. This guy's not any good. He's not credible. You can't trust him. What he preaches and teaches isn't right. It's not what we believe. Stay away from him. He's a hypocrite in the kingdom of God. In fact, they referred to him as they said he was able to do what he did because he was possessed by Jesus. This is the guy that the rich young ruler is running up to. So that tells me he had to be desperate. There was something urgent in his life. Now I ask the question, what is it? I'm just going to take some guesses. Okay? I'll take them anyway, but understand this is just not factual, but perhaps some of this. He had somehow ascended to the top of being a religious leader, a ruler. In fact, that word ruler literally means elder. The position he held was for someone that was much younger than him. That's why one of the older than him. That's why one of the details that's given was that he was young. So he was in a position that he was too big for his own riches. One of those things. So he ascended to this position pretty quick on, and we know that he has a lot of possessions, so his today was pretty good, and I think at some point he started asking, what happens tomorrow? Because I think he values what all of us value is we want a better tomorrow. And he starts asking the question, who gets all my possessions if tomorrow doesn't come to me? Who takes over my position as synagogue ruler, as kind of the top dog? I mean, what's the point? I've worked all of my life, my young life, I've given everything I could to get to this position. And for what? For someday just to give it to somebody else. Now this is my theory. And my theory is based on the question that he asked Jesus. His question is about tomorrow. He comes to him and asks, how do I get eternal life? So understand what's happening. When he comes with a very urgent need. Otherwise he wouldn't have ran to Jesus. Otherwise he wouldn't have fell on his knees before Jesus. What he didn't realize is that he was asking something that he thought was urgent, but was actually important. So often what happens at the end of the exchange is simply this. They go through what he needs to do, obey the commandment. I'm going to come back to that. He says, yeah, I've done that. I've kept all those, the ones that you mentioned, Jesus. What else? See, the other Gospels say that Jesus says this one thing you lack. Why I like Matthew's Gospel is because the young man said, yeah, I've done all that. What else am I still missing? There's still something that's incomplete. I still don't know about this tomorrow thing. How do I get eternal life? And he tells him, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, in a lot of Jesus' parables or stories, it'll end with a phrase. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Preachers have abused this text for years. I've done it before. This is not a story or a parable that necessarily says, go and do likewise. I think many of us would say, you know what, I'm not rich the way he was rich. But we do struggle with this. The Bible says he went away sad because he had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of wealth. And I think it's because he wasn't willing to give up what was urgent to deal with what was most important. What is most important? You probably saw it on the slide today if you can find it for us. What's the most important thing? What's the one value we should all share? I stole this phrase from a book that I read. His name is Reggie Joyner. So don't think it's not profound, it's just spoke to me. 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter is a person's relationship with God. You see it? The young rich man comes and he's asking a question about the most important thing in life, but he is unwilling to get an answer to the most important thing because he first had to deal with what was most urgent. And you and I know this, don't we? We know what the most important thing is. If you've been in church, or you've grown up in church, or you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know that the most important thing is the gift of eternal life. In fact, some of you are born already, I can tell about it by your faces. We keep hearing Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. He can't come back yet. Yeah, but eternal life is still good. It's still what he wants. And we know that's most important, except what happens, what's most urgent, gets in the way of what is most important. There's all kinds of things that we say. We do this in our finances. We say, you know what? When I don't have this debt anymore, then I'll be more generous. I hope you understand, by the way, I truly believe God's not interested in our money. He's interested in our heart from which our money comes. So we can give all that we give, but if we never give our heart, it doesn't matter anything. But isn't that what we say? Well, you know what? When this emergency is paid, then we. Because what we're saying is this is more urgent than what's most important. Because when we give, whether it's to this church or not, I'm not here for your money, trust me. It's just storing up treasures in heaven. And it's not just with money. We do it with reading the Word of God. Some of you work really long, hard hours. You can't get up any earlier. You go to bed exhausted. And here's what you say. When things slow down, then I'll really get into the Word of God the way it is. We've all said this. We're not raising our hands, but if we raise our hands, trust me, you're in the club. You're in the club. Like, you're good. We all struggle with this. What we say, well, this urgent need, when I get the urgent taken care of, then I can deal with what's most important. Here's all Jesus is asking. When you value eternal life, we always keep what is important most important. Because there will always be things that are urgent to us that will take up our time and our money and our space. What so often happens is by the time we pay off one debt, the car is so old and it's breaking down, we have to buy a new one and we accumulate more debt, and it's just still urgent and we never get to the important. I don't understand this yet, but I'll take them at their word. Retired people, when we think we have all this time on our hands, when we can start dealing with what's most important, you know what retired people say? Every single one of them. I'm busier now than when I worked. And what is it? We tell us our whole lives, you know what, when I'm not as busy, the urgent will always try and take the place of what's most important. Every stage of life, everything we go through. Okay, we're done. I think there's a lot of places this takes place, but the one I want to highlight is the one that I think is most prevalent in this story, and it's people. I think the struggle for most of us when it comes to what is most urgent always is the result of people. And I want to prove it to you. Because when the rich man comes, he asks about how to get eternal life, and Jesus talks about the commandment. Dan, if you can find the slide. Dan kind of got thrown in last minute, so just bear with it. What's the one that he mentioned, the commandment? You shall not murder. That's commandment number 6. You shall not commit adultery. Number 7. You shall not steal. Number 8. You shall not give false testimony. Number 9. Honor your father and mother. That's number 5. For OCD people, it's like, Jesus, why didn't you start with 5? Number 10. And the last one, love your neighbor as yourself. I think it ties into commandment number 10, which says, do not covet. Because if we love our neighbor, we won't covet. So when he's asking how to get what is most important, he deals with what often is so urgent, people. Because commandments 5 through 10, every one of them deals with our relationship with people. But it's not what's most important. Commandments 1 through 4 are most important. Every one of them deals with God. No other God. No other idols. Don't misuse or mistake my name. Rest on the seventh day. So here's what's happening. What's most important in his life, what was most urgent in his life was getting in the way of what was most important. Because the way that you get to the top in our world is by being a people pleaser. We say it a different way in the parking lot. I know how you say it. I'm not going to say it. But that's what we have to do. Because ultimately, what we believe one of our values is to try and treat people the way we want to be treated. That's what we teach our kids, isn't it? Treat people the way we want to be treated. It's even in the Bible. There's only a problem with that. Is that as we always try and treat people the way we would want to be treated, you know that their need, their urgency will always come before what is most important. Let me help you a little bit. Parents with kids. How long has it been since you've had a date night, just you and your spouse? Don't answer that, actually. You know why? It costs a lot of money to get a babysitter or find somebody. Your kid's schedule is really busy. So what happens is that what is urgent, the needs in your kid's life, often can come before what is most important. The relationship between husband and wife. And why is that most important? Statistics show one of the most important things kids need is a stable relationship at home between mother and father. Right? And we let what is urgent, is even important, it might even be very important, sometimes get away, and what is most important. I struggle with this very much. Because when you're in the line of work that deals with people, and most of us always deal with people, people always have needs. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean that people are too demanding. It's just that when you're in a relationship with people, there are things that come up that need to be taken care of. And what we say is, well, I need to tend to that, and then tend to my relationship with God. I struggle with it. I come in on Monday, and a lot of times I'll make a list on a whiteboard of the to-do list for the week. And it's so overwhelming that I think I don't have time to pray. And you know what happens over time? When we exchange what is urgent for what is most important, our souls become a lake. A lake that gets filled slowly, but when we go meeting the needs of people, it gets pumped out really fast. And we don't get filled as fast as it's going out. Instead of saying, you know what, the best way that I can serve and love people, my marriage, my family, every relationship that I have, is by keeping what is most important, most important. Because here's what happens. We get into His river that has a river we can't always see the beginning or end to. We just get in it, and it flows into us, and then it flows back out of us. And by the way, sometimes you never know how dry you are spiritually until you get away and get alone. And I'm telling you this from a confession of my own heart. Keep me count. I finally had to come to a place where I'd say the very best thing that I can do for my people is to read God's Word and pray. Some of you may be saying, yeah, but we don't have that luxury in our job. I understand. I'm just telling you the most important thing. The only thing that will matter 100 years from now is our relationship with God and someone else's relationship with God. Because here's what happens. As we try and people please, we will always treat them the way we want to be treated. So you know what happens? We will never forgive people in their hurts by keeping the word. You know the only way we can forgive people who hurt us is because we ourselves are living in the river of forgiveness and we're keeping what is important most important. We don't have the capacity to forgive the way God does, only God does. You know, we will never love unlovable people the way God calls us to with our own love. It's only by being in the river of His love. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, He says, What good is it? If you love only the people that you love, aren't even the tax collectors and the pagans, the people who don't believe, don't even they do that? Sometimes non-church people, non-Christian believing people are better at being Christians than we are. You know why that is? Because we live in a battle between what is urgent and what is most important. And as long as there's people in our lives, there will always be urgency to deal with those needs. I'm just telling you, 100 years from now, the only thing that will matter is our relationship with God and what's yours. When we're people-pleasing, we do it so that they view us in good light. But you know what? When we're concerned about what's most important, it's not about how people view us. It's how people view God through us. It matters most. You see, at the end, halfway through this parable, the rich man goes away sad to the end of his life. My question, as he's walking away from Jesus, where were the disciples? I'll tell you where they were. They were asking Jesus, who did he even say? And they weren't asking because they were concerned about the rich man walking away from Jesus. They were concerned about themselves. Later on this afternoon, read the rest of the parable. They're saying, what do we get? What if the disciples? What if the disciples would have stopped? I gotta talk to you. You need to know something. I know this is hard. I know this doesn't make sense. I just want you to know we left everything to follow. You may have more to leave than we do. I just want you to know, I have a question. 100 years from now, what will it matter how much you have? I just wonder why they didn't do it. I think because what was urgent in their lives got in the way of what was most important to them. We know the only thing that matters is a person's relationship with God. We know that our name there. And yet, so many times in the church, things are urgent, they come up, and we get distracted by them. And what happens is what urgent replaces what's important. I'm just asking us to come back to one place. What is the most important thing? 100 years from now, it is a person's relationship with God. And what is the most important thing today? A person's relationship with God. Ours and theirs. Satan is really good at taking what is most urgent and trying to get us to do what is and trying to replace it with what is most important. I love how this thing is. Well, it doesn't end. I skip ahead. I'm skipping ahead. It makes sense in mind. I love when the disciples ask that question, who they can be saved. And Jesus says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, the only other place in Scripture that mentions something like this is when Mary was to be overcome with the Holy Spirit, and God's life was to enter inside of her, and she was to conceive and give birth to the Savior of the world. The angel said, for nothing is impossible with God. And so when nothing is impossible with God, it means that His life has come into our life. That eternal life is not something that's just way out there. It's something that starts today. So what's most important, we keep it there. And everything that's urgent comes out of that overflow. So with God, if you were to fill in that blank, what would it be? With God, blank is possible. 100 years from now, it won't matter how big your house is or how small. It won't matter how clean your house is. It won't matter how long the laundry stays in the dryer waiting to be folded. It won't matter if your kids got the latest gadget, electronic device. It won't matter. It won't matter how much is in your bank account. the water, it won't matter. The car that we drove to church in, it won't matter what we keep for lunch. The struggle that you're in 100 years from now, it won't matter. Because it won't be struggle. The temptation is not because you won't be tempted by it. If you, the disease won't be a problem. Pain, you suffering sin, it won't hinder you now. Because it is gone. It will be as if you write it on a whiteboard and Jesus takes the eraser and says, nope, you don't have to deal with that ever, ever, ever again. Kids, I want to tell you something. I'm not going to make you a friend. Okay, I'm going to make you a friend. We need to be going to pray 100 years from now. The grave you make. As we keep what is most important, everything that is urgent, we will do our very best. So we leave to God what is God, and what is left we do with His power, because all things are possible. We're going to ask the praise team to come back up. I want to spend this time just asking you to evaluate, to remember your relationship with God. There are things that always get in the way, and this is just the time to say, Lord, if there's anything that's gotten in that way, would you please show it? And I want to surrender it, because what is most important is my relationship with God. You know, there are things that you were going through, storms, struggles. They're very, very real. I'm not dismissing those today. God does dismiss those today. But He will remind you the most important thing is that He's with you. And He will be with you always, even in the eternity that is to come. And for the problems and issues going on in the lives of the people, the most important thing is their relationship with God. With two prayers, Lord, how's my relationship with you? But then, God, help the things that become urgent in my life never to become more important than what is most important in the people that I love.